This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is such a wonderful day to be in this time of worship together, and I am privileged to be able to welcome you into this time and space. Whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, we know that the Spirit of Christ keeps us connected as we worship together. I would love for each of you to take a moment and register your attendance to let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and online there's a link you can place in your browser. And it's always fun to go back and see who's been joining us over live stream. And worshiping, signing in person here in the sanctuary gives us an opportunity to see if there are those of you who are visiting who perhaps might want to know a little bit more about our congregation and ways that you can live and serve God through this place. So please share an email with us or a phone number with us if you're visiting, and we'd love to reach out in love to you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a college student or a graduate student, we want to invite you to lunch after worship. All through the academic year, there is lunch after the late service every Sunday. Reverend Amy Baxter will be your host, and it's lunch on us. So if you'll gather in the back at the end of the service, you can walk somewhere close by and share lunch and fellowship together. Our Wednesday night children's choirs are back up and running, and in the month of September, we're going to have some special offerings for adults as well. We will be having suppers during the month of September, and they'll be catered either by Moe's or by Jason's Deli, depending on the week, and then Reverend Will McLean is going to lead a class on the art of belonging. All that information's in the bulletin. We do need RSVPs for dinner, so if you'll let us know, that'll help us get our numbers right, and that is for the 4 weeks of September. There's also a QR code in your bulletin for parents of children and youth or those who volunteer in these ministries. We want to get some feedback and input from you as we continue to grow this ministry with all these little ones who are now coming up through the pipeline. We want to make sure we have the kinds of ministries that shape them into lives of discipleship. So please participate in that survey if you will. And finally, tomorrow and Tuesday, much of your staff will be on retreat together, and we ask for your prayers as we rest and play and pray and plan together. The receptionists will be here in the building, the preschool is open, so if you need anything at all, you can call the church office and they'll get word to us. This morning, we are in one of the parables of Jesus that can be found in Matthew's gospel. It is a profound and somewhat difficult parable. So we open ourselves in this time of worship to hear these teachings of Jesus and be shaped into the people he calls us to be. Let us worship together.
and the call to worship found in your bulletin. Today we celebrate, O Lord, our acceptance into your family.
You offer grace and love without boundaries.
Today we commit ourselves to the work of redemption you have already begun.
May our worship of you mold our hearts to be more like you.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. O God, from your providing hand, even the dissatisfied and grumbling receive what they need for their lives. We recognize that at times our understanding of justice is steeped in judgment and punishment instead of grace and reconciliation. Teach us your ways of justice and lead us to practice your generosity so that we may live lives worthy of the gospel made known through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and yet you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to be seated and any children who want to come up here for a few minutes to come on up and join me. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screen because this time is for you. Come on up. I'm so glad to see all of you. The big steps, aren't they? Come on up and have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, Mr. Patrick just read a story that Jesus told. And he told a lot of stories as a way of teaching people about God. So I'm going to take the story he told and tell my own kind of story that's sort of like it and see if we can't learn a couple of things together. So once upon a time, there was a little girl named Sally who was going to have a birthday party. And she had a really good friend named Luke. And they were best friends. And she asked Luke if he would come early and help her decorate for the party and get all ready for everybody else to come. And so he said, sure, I'll do that. She said, okay, if you do that, I'll give you a big piece of my birthday cake. So he was really excited because he loved cake. Do you like cake? I love cake. Everybody loves cake. So Luke got there early. They worked really hard blowing up balloons and putting up streamers and all the decorations. And then all the other kids started arriving at the party. And a little bit before the end of the party, Sally noticed there were some of her new neighbors who were outside playing. She didn't really know them very well, but they were about the same age. So she said, why don't you come on inside and join my birthday party? We're about to cut the cake. And so they all sat down and Sally started cutting the cake. And Luke got a really big piece. He was so excited about it. But then he looked over and the new kids who had just shown up to the party who didn't even really know Sally got the same size piece of cake. And he kind of thought that wasn't very fair and he was a little grumbly about it. So he talked to Sally a little bit later and she said, well, you know, we had a big cake. There was plenty for everybody and I was just so happy to see everybody. I just gave everybody the same size. Jesus told a story kind of like that to try and teach us that God's love is so big that everybody gets a lot of it, everything we need. And that when we start comparing ourselves to other people and looking at how big their cake is compared to ours, it just can lead to unhappiness. So maybe what we can do is just be grateful that God loves us so much. Just be grateful that we have a big, delicious piece of cake. And then we'll be happier, I think. And I think that's the way God wants us to be. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you are so generous, that you give and give and give, and you love and love and love. And there's just more than any of us deserves or can ever consume. Thank you for your love for us, and help us to be grateful, and help us to share with others your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you so much for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie and Miss Jennifer and have some fun together in Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with friends or family or grandparents. Okay? Bye-bye. 2 months since I sat down with the preaching plan for the year and prayed about which texts I wanted to preach from which book we were in. If you're visiting with us this morning for the very first time, you may not know that our congregation has been reading the Bible together this year. We started in January with Genesis, and now we've made it all the way to Matthew. So I knew that Bishop Carter was going to be with us and that he would be preaching from some part of Matthew's gospel. And I decided what I wanted to do was to pick a parable of Jesus. Jesus taught mostly through parables, through stories. Now, there were certainly times when he, for example, in places in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do not judge other people, love your enemies, all those sorts of easy things that we're supposed to do when we follow Jesus. But so much of his teaching was more about story. And there are lots of reasons for that, perhaps. One of the reasons I think he did that was as a way of inviting us to join him in the story, to look around the parable with him, and to allow it to teach us and shape us in different ways. A parable may mean one thing to us one day, and then 2 weeks later, 2 years later, 10 years later, it might speak to us in a different way. There is no one meaning of any parable, and that's the beauty of them and the simplicity of them. So I knew I wanted to preach on one of the parables of Jesus. And I thought, since this was my one chance to preach from Matthew's gospel in all of 2023, why not pick one that only shows up in Matthew's gospel? So I did my research and I found this one. That's so much fun. Wow, what a gut punch this parable contains, right? In many of Jesus' parables, it's easy to explore them by putting ourselves in the place of different characters in the parable. But in this parable, I think the way Jesus tells it, he wants us to put ourselves in a particular place in the parable. He wants us to identify with those workers who were hired first. He follows them throughout the parable. So let's do that together. Let's step through the door of this parable and allow it to surround us as we explore it together. So you are a day laborer, and you show up as early as you possibly can to the marketplace in the hope that you'll get hired for a day's work. The usual daily wage is a denarius. It's not a lot. It's a subsistence wage, but if you could get that one denarius, it'll get you through the day. You'll have enough for your family and yourself. And then you can get up the next day and do it all over again. And so you're there waiting to be hired, and here comes a farmer, a landowner, which is a little strange. Usually people like him send their manager, but he himself has come, and he hires you. And so for the rest of the day, you have it made. You know you've got good work to do. You know at the end of the day you're going to be paid a denarius. All of that anxiety is lifted, and you just go and get to work. Now, throughout the day, you notice that the landowner comes and goes, and every time he comes back, he brings in more people to work. Curious, interesting, but you're focused on your work. You just do what you came there to do. And then the end of the day comes, and you get lined up by the manager this time, and those who were hired at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock? That's a strange time to hire people, but okay. Those who were hired at 5 o'clock are the first in line, all the way down to you who were hired first. And you see the manager place in the hand of that first guy a denarius, a full day's wage. Okay, let's stop right there. If you're one of the first hired, where do you go? I start doing math. Okay, 1 hour, one denarius, 10 hours, 10 denarii. I mean, I've worked 10 times as long as that guy. I've worked 10 times as hard as that guy. I can't wait to get to the front of the line, and boy, I don't even have pockets. What am I going to do with all these denarii? And you get up there, and one lousy denarius lands in your hand. That's the moment Jesus wants to draw our attention to. The moment that calls us into ourselves to examine how we feel. How do we react to that? How do you feel? How would you react to that? That's not fair. That is not how economies work. That's not how the labor market works. It's equal pay for equal work. We know that in the 21st century. If an employer were to pull a stunt like that, they'd probably have a lawsuit on their hands. It's not fair. You get as much as you put in, right? So the saying goes. And yet, here's one denarius in your hand. And then Jesus turns the whole parable upside down when the landowner speaks. Because these first hired laborers are grumbling. We understand their grumbling. I echo their grumbling. And he says, I haven't done you any wrong. That was our contract. You work for me a day, and I'll give you a day's wage, a denarius. But you have made them equal to us. That's not fair. Take what you have and go. Or are you envious because I'm generous? Ouch. You see, I think when Jesus told this parable, he was pointing it at the insiders. At this place in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been confronted again and again by some of the Pharisees and religious leaders trying to trap him. They don't like Jesus. They don't like the fact that he's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and all of these ne'er-do-wells. And so he wants them to hear this parable, that the kingdom of heaven offers grace upon grace, whether you've been at work in the fields for hours and hours or you just showed up. That's the economy of God. And so for all of you religious leaders who feel like all this time and effort and morality you have poured into this lifelong religious effort that you're making makes you any more beautiful or worthy or loved in God's eyes, sorry. God loves them as much as God loves you. Matthew put this parable in his gospel. Most scholars think he wrote his gospel in the early days of the church, when there were some who had become Christians through the Jewish tradition. They had been walking with Yahweh and worshiping in that Jewish tradition, the one true God of Israel, for generations. And then the Holy Spirit has been showing up among all of these Gentiles who've been worshiping all these other gods or no God at all. And now we're all in this church together and we're supposed to be equals? Some in the Jewish Christian community were insisting that all of these Gentiles the men need to be circumcised. They all need to follow all the food laws, all of the so and so forth to prove that they're worthy, to earn God's grace. And yet in this parable, everybody gets a denarius. And as we'll hear in some of the letters of Paul in a few weeks, the grace of God is for all. And it has nothing to do with our merit or our deserving or how long we've been at work in the fields of the Lord. And so we read this parable today, and it's aimed at the insiders. And I don't know about you, but that's me. He's preaching to the choir, y'all. And he's preaching to all of us. And I grew up in the church. Every Sunday, I was there with my family, singing the hymns, praying the prayers, Sunday school, children's choir, youth group, president of the youth choir, stayed in connection with my faith, went to seminary. I've been ordained since 1996. Surely God owes me just a little bit more than that guy who's going to walk in next Sunday, never been to church before. Not in God's economy. But I've been here for 50 years and I've done all these things and not in God's economy. According to this parable, especially aimed at those of us who are insiders, there's some transformation of the heart that Jesus is calling us toward. These parables aren't just cool and interesting stories. They're transformational. They can be if we have ears to hear. So how might things have gone differently for these first hired laborers? How might the insiders like me be transformed by this parable into the living of the kingdom of God? What if things were a little different in the parable? What if instead of grumbling when they got that one denarius, they were grateful? I mean, that's what they were told they were going to get. It's enough for a day. It'll get them through to the next day. What if they were grateful that they'd gotten hired early in the day so they didn't have to live with the anxiety for hours on end of whether they'd have enough? What if they were grateful that they found a place to work with such a generous person? What if they went from grumbling to gratitude? What if, as they were working, When they saw all of these new people coming into the fields all throughout the day, they rejoiced because, hey, many hands make light work. The work was so big, there was so much to be done that the farmer knew he needed more help. And what if every time a new crew arrived, everyone else was like, yay, we've got more people to help us with the work. We were talking about this in Bible study, and one of the people in the Bible study was telling us how he used to work in a restaurant, and when more people would come on the shift, they'd be like, whew, thank goodness, we got more help. Wouldn't that be a beautiful response? Look at all these people who are coming. We can do more work. We can do more for the kingdom of God now. What if those who were hired first were in relationship with those who were hired last? Whether they were neighbors and friends before, or they got to know them as they were working and they learned more about each other's stories. What if one of them had a friend who couldn't get to the labor market on time because he was taking care of his sick mother and he was late and you were worried about whether he was going to get hired that day, and then you see him walking in at 5 o'clock and you're like, oh, he got to work. And then he gets a denarius, a full day's pay for his 1 hour of work. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you be so happy for your friend? Or what if you talked with one of these new people and found out that they had been standing in the marketplace for 9 hours and nobody picked them? Do you know what it's like to wait to be picked for the kickball team in second grade? And how terrible that feels to stand there and feel like nobody wants you? The farmer asked, why aren't you working? And they said, nobody's hired us. Nobody picked us. So what if hearing that story gave you compassion? Wow, I'm so glad you made it, even at the last hour. And I'm so glad you got the full day's pay. I hope to see you tomorrow, first thing. Let's go together. There is invitation in this parable. It comes at us pretty hard for those of us who are insiders. But underneath all of Jesus' teachings, no matter how hard they are, there is always invitation. And so as Jesus says at the end of many of his parables, let those who have ears hear. Let those of us who have ears to hear this parable move toward gratitude. May we rejoice as God brings more and more people into the faith community, because that means we can do more work for the gospel out in the world. And may we take the time to get to know one another as we work, to hear each other's stories, that God may deepen our compassion and give us more joy, so that we can celebrate that whether you have just walked in the door or you have been part of this faith community all your life, God loves us all unconditionally. Thanks be to God.
As we respond to the word, I invite you to stand and join me as we recite together the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin or in your hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, you can click on the Contact Us button on our website, or else grab a gray pew card and put that in the offering plate as it is passed during the offertory. I want to point your attention to the prayer list that's printed inside your bulletin. Please keep those names and situations on your heart throughout the week and ask for God's special presence in those situations. We want to especially lift up Betty Dobson and her family as they mourn the loss of her sister, Joyce Smith Lovett, on Saturday, August 19th. Services were held in Statesboro, Georgia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, with our whole hearts. Before all things, we sing your praise. God, today we turn our hearts to you in thanksgiving. We know that we are not here by accident, but that you have drawn us into this place to be reminded of your glory and to humble ourselves in the knowledge of who you are. Lord, we ask that you take the prayers we pray, the words we sing, and the meditations of our hearts as a thank offering for the grace and love that you have showered on us. We are recipients of your grace in so many undeserved ways. Even when we fall short of the goal of being like you, you still seek to fill our cup. You still seek to show us the fullness of your love. Help us to remember that when we don't feel like we're enough, when we don't feel like we deserve your love, when we begin to look down on ourselves, help us to remember that you have love for us. Help us to have eyes like yours to see ourselves and others in the way that you would see. Change our hearts and minds to be more compassionate to ourselves so that we can be compassionate to those around us. Oh God, in this moment of being in your presence, we acknowledge the blessing it is to be able to offer ourselves to you, as broken and incomplete as we are. We know you are working in us, walking us through difficult situations, and celebrating with us when our hearts are overjoyed. In this place where you call us to trust, we offer to you those places in our lives, thanking you for your ever-present love and asking you to reveal yourself to us in this moment. We give thanks today. Today we offer you ourselves and remember that you have taught us to go beyond these walls, to share the light and love that you have given to us with the world around us. Help us to have generous hearts and open minds as we seek to live out your call wherever it is we go. And God, as we close this time of prayer together, we boldly pray as one body the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online, you can give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the aisles. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. One of the great joys of working here at West End is when I get to see the family expand. So we get to celebrate that today with so many new people here this morning. I'm so glad to get to meet so many of you. This morning we had a baptism at the early service. We had two people joining in the early service, and then we have even more joining us at this service. So if you are joining today, I want to invite you up to the front and give you a chance to meet them today. I'll introduce them each to you. Many of you all know Molly Borneman. She has been here for the last year as our youth intern and is continuing as our pastoral fellow. That's your title. She'll be working closely with our youth, children, and outreach ministries and looks forward to continue to greet and meet new youth that she's gotten to know over the last year. She's from Greenfield, Tennessee, and is most passionate about creating environments where all people feel loved, welcome, included, and beloved. We have Chris and Caroline here. The Peacocks have been with us for, I think we talked yesterday, almost 20 years. And so West End is their home. I think we've established that. Their children have grown up in this place, grown up through our children's ministries and youth ministries, and now they're going to make their love for West End official today, and we are so glad to have them. Katie Allgood comes to Nashville from Albertville, Alabama, and she works for purchasing at Bridgestone Americas. She's a longtime guest and is happy to make her membership here official. She enjoys hiking, exploring new places, and is involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters and the Christmas Village. And then we have Dorothy Mueller. She is coming to West End from St. Michael's Catholic Church in Stuttgart, Germany. She is a critical care anesthesiologist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and she has been a vital part of our congregation, as her husband, Brent Evans, is already a member of our church, and both of her children have been baptized here at West End. We are so glad that you all are making West End your home and have made this your home, and look forward to seeing how God will continue to use you and grow you in this place, and grow us as a result of your work in this place. We have a few questions for you. This first question is for Molly, Dorothy, and Chris. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And this is for everybody. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. Now please, the rest of us here, would you please stand in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members with what's printed in your bulletin. Family of God, Molly, Dorothy, Katie, Caroline, and Chris are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you all to join me and our new members out in Reed Hall after the service to greet them and welcome them into this family. And as we go out of here, And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
have spent this time dwelling in the economy of God, in a community shaped by grace, let us go forth from this place, for there is much work to do as God's people to share the good news of God's unconditional love, and may we forever keep the doors wide open. Go in peace.